You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06. Nice to have you along. 3 weeks to go till Election Day, just 21 days left on this Tuesday morning, October 15th. And coming up in just a matter of moments, we will be talking to Yiling Zhang, a candidate for Assembly in the Marathon County area, and we'll learn more about that very competitive race, competitive now, thanks to fairer maps. So that's coming up in just a bit. Then at the bottom of the hour, we have our regular visit with Hans Breitenmoser, a dairy farmer from Lincoln County, who brought along a friend from Washington, D.C., from the National Farmers Union. Mike Stranz will be joining us. And I think the theme you're going to catch in both of these upcoming segments is whether it's Republicans in the legislature suddenly talking as if they've been all bipartisan all this time, or Derek Van Orden talking about being on the Ag Committee. What you're going to hear is it's actually been 2 years of playing political games and not getting anything done, and don't be fooled by the campaign rhetoric because it's actions that matter, or lack thereof. And that's coming up in just a bit here. Plus, Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau will be joining us as well. But first, let's check the weather with meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It is cold. We've got 20s. We've got 30s out there. The seasons have changed. Mr. Bach has a question for Ms. Brittany.
No question. I just wanted to make a small weather report from when I was coming in this morning. There was a smidge of hail.
Oh.
Well, funny that you should say that, because I heard Brittany use this word yesterday, and now Rob from Tigerton uses it as well, saying good morning from Tigerton. It's clear in 34. We had a quarter inch of rain with hail or grapple, even a few slick spots that caused accidents. You'll have to explain that funny little word there to folks.
Grapple, yes. Okay, so it's more of a small, soft hail. Hail's got a little more density to it. This is more of a softer, baby pea-sized hail, right? It's usually in a circle, and you can pretty much squish it easier. So what the difference is that's a snowflake, actually, with water kind of freezing around. It's super cooled water. So it's really just saying the temperature is way up high in the atmosphere, pretty chilly. So that cloud up there is just going to create those grapples instead of, let's say, hail, right? You get a crazy big severe storm where those tops are soaring way up there into the atmosphere, right? So that's going to create a hail core, which is bigger and harder and more dense versus this grapple.
The stuff we learn here.
Well, I just have to say this then. The more you know.
Yes.
Thank you, Brittany.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it always reminds me of like styrofoam. Like if you break a piece of styrofoam and like all these little beads, you know,
yes,
fall out. It's kind of sort of like that, but colder. So what do we have to look forward to for as we approach midweek here?
Well, the frosty start to today, and of course, a few more clouds out there to start. We will see more sunshine as the afternoon wears on. It's going to be a breezy day today. Of course, still sparking up showers by Lake Michigan. There's still some ongoing right now towards Milwaukee, all the way into Racine. That'll be the case through the afternoon. Then things start to quiet down. A high pressure system is going to slide in from Canada, and it's going to go as far south as Kansas. So as it does so, it's going to pull in this cold air where the entire state is pretty much going to be in a freeze warning. We are going to fall into the low 20s to the low 30s statewide. So it's going to be our first hard freeze, the coldest temperatures of the season thus far. And of course, a bunch of sunshine to follow because a high pressure system brings clear skies. So with the calm winds, clear skies tomorrow, it'll be a gorgeous day, but still kind of below average. So highs today ranging from those mid 40s to upper 40s. And then tomorrow we'll be into those mid 50s before we get to the 60s on Thursday.
Wow. Okay. Very seasonal. There we go. Brittany Merlot, thank you so much.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right. Don't adjust your radios or your calendars. It's not Thursday. And yet, Kate Duffy and Nicole Slavin from Motherhood for Good are here now on this Tuesday morning, 7:11 the time right now. Kate, Nicole, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah.
Very, very good. Thanks for coming in for a little extra day here, a little extra earlier than usual. We all know the reason why. Election day is creeping up on us, 21 days away. And while you guys have done just a tremendous public service in exposing us to all kinds of women who are running for office, it's part of our Women Win Wisconsin segment, Thursday mornings at 7:30. You've been kind enough to acknowledge that, you know, there's some pretty good dudes running out there too. And maybe we should start to spread the wealth a little bit. All to say, Kate, this is just a year for a quality batch of candidates running thanks to those fair maps.
Yes. I mean, we're so excited and we've been talking about it nonstop, but we have fairer maps this year and we have a shot to flip some assembly seats and maybe flip the assembly. And so we've been so excited to talk to all the candidates that are doing incredible work in all the different corners of the state. And we're just really excited to talk to our candidate today.
Yeah. And so we'll get to him in a sec with Nicole. Just wanted to ask Motherhood for Good wise, how things have been. I understand some of your members were hanging out with, I don't know, a guy running for vice president of the United States, maybe.
Yes, we were. We were so, so happy to welcome Governor Walz to Green Bay yesterday, along with Governor Whitmer and our own Tony was here as well. So it was a great, great afternoon in Green Bay. We even had cheeseheads. They had signs that said cheeseheads for Harris Walz, which were like a hot commodity. I grabbed one. I was very, very excited to get that.
And I heard they had a live band playing polka. I'm like, okay, this sounds amazing.
Wow.
The actual polka band was there. It was the most Green Bay stop you could have had. It was good practice because we have Kamala coming on Thursday. So
that's right.
Week in Green Bay.
So much going on. And yes, I saw the cabin at the Davies Center at the UW-Eau Claire campus was plastered in blue golds for Harris Walz signs because that was his first stop before coming to Green Bay. So a big week here, a lot of big races. As I mentioned, the new maps have made for some more competitive races. And that's led us to our guest here, who's going to be joining us from Marathon County. Kate or Nicole, either one of you want to give a formal introduction?
Sure. We're really, really.
Should we arm wrestle over it? No, go ahead, Nicole.
We're all over ourselves here because we're so used to welcoming female and women candidates. And we were so, so excited to welcome Li Yangzong here with us today from the Wausau area, District 85, Assembly District 85. And Yi, thank you so much for joining us, particularly on an early Tuesday morning. We're very happy to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's definitely an honor and a privilege to be able to be here as well too with incredible folks like yourselves as well.
Well, thank you again for joining us as well. Can you, for folks that aren't aware, the 85th District in around the Wausau area has been represented by Republican Pat Snyder for a number of years now. Tell us a bit more about your own personal backstory, what life was like before you made that decision to run for state assembly.
Yeah. So, you know, first, before I even talk about my community service, I have to talk a little bit about my history a little bit here. When I was born to two loving parents who were refugees who came to the United States here after the Vietnam War due to the Hmong community's involvement during the Vietnam War. The first night that my parents made the decision to come to the United States, they ended up, my aunt ended up stepped in a landmine and was killed instantly. As times went by, they ended up the next couple weeks living in the jungle flow, surviving off roots and mud water. And eventually, they got towards the end of their leg of their journey, which was their destination was the Mekong River. And when they got there, they realized that there was a communist outpost that was preventing them from crossing the Mekong River. So the group leaders pulled them all aside and told them that they needed to make sure that their kids were silent. Well, unfortunately, at that time, my oldest brother was sick and he wasn't feeling so well. So the group leaders gave them an ultimatum: feed him opium or be left behind. My parents rendered him over. And as they crossed the communist outpost, and my mom realized that my oldest brother was no longer breathing. So they buried him at the shores of the Mekong and eventually crossed it and came to the United States, where they worked, where their first job was picking up worms at Marathon County Park. And eventually my mom went on to become a seamstress and worked and retired from factory. And my dad worked on the ginseng farm and then went on and worked in the factory as well, and joined the local union there. My parents taught me that despite the fact that we didn't have much, we needed to continue to give back to our community anyway. The first time I saw how powerful it was to get how powerful grassroots efforts were, or how powerful it is to organize community members, was when I saw my father out there protesting for better jobs, better wage, and also ensuring that his voice was heard. He was there with his union brothers and sisters, and they were out there organizing and making their voice heard. And because of this commitment to being a voice for others, it led me to dedicating my life to public service. I worked in the nonprofit sector my entire life, working for elders and individuals with disabilities. I then went on to work for as an advocate for victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, and human trafficking. And I was an executive now where I'm working with some Asian community members. But it also led me to run for the school board on the Marathon County Board, for various policy changes. Local law enforcement, recruiting and retention, working on addressing educational standards, working on ensuring that we had social workers that would address needs for students as well. So and addressing broadband, childcare as well. So I've been a person to ensure that we're focusing on the Wisconsinites, and I've heard that at the doors, I've not yet.
Yeah, I'm going to stop you right there just because we're having a bit of a connection issue. But I will say prior to the prior to some of the glitches in there, I think Kate and Nicole would probably agree with me. I'm just going to rewind those last 4 minutes. And every time I see somebody with a, mass deportation sign or anything about that, I think that story just needs to be played back in terms of this is what America is. This is what the land has always been. People who take a chance with great dangers in their home countries to come build a better life here. I don't know what there was, Kate and Nicole, in recruiting candidates, but whatever led to Yee here in Marathon County, pretty good on them.
Yeah, Yee, we haven't met yet, but people keep asking me who I'm talking to. They're like, have you talked to Yee yet? You have to talk to Yee. He's amazing. And obviously, just hearing a little bit of your story, it's incredible. And maybe we can find another time to chat before the election, because we'd love to hear more about it.
Well, hang on there. We'll get through this commercial break. We'll see if we've, because we had a good connection there for like the first 4 minutes. We'll see how things look after that. Yiling Zhang is our guest, talking about running in the 85th Assembly District in Marathon County. We'll also then have guests Hans Breitenmoser and Mike Strands from the National Farmers Union coming up as well. But first, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, this is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is National I Love Lucy Day. Noting that I Love Lucy premiered this day in 1951 on CBS. She was a pioneer, a groundbreaking trailblazer for women everywhere to advance not just in the arts and television and comedy, but beyond. That would include somebody who currently represents us in the United States Senate. Yeah, in our Women Win Wisconsin segment coming up this Thursday at 7:30, our Motherhood for Good friends are bringing in one Tammy Baldwin, I believe. Did I guess correctly on who you're going to have?
Yes. Yeah, that was a good guess.
Okay, thank you. So Tammy Baldwin will be their special guest coming up on Women Win Wisconsin, powered by Motherhood for Good, this Thursday at 7:30. We're talking to Yiling Zhang, and we are hearing more about your personal story. I think we've got a better connection now here, Yi. So let's pick up where you were starting to talk about making the decision to run for assembly. Tell us more about what prompted that, because you are clearly already well involved in your community. So why take this next step?
Yeah, thank you, Pat. And the reason why I made the decision to run was because I am in the roles that I've served, it seems like there are things that are the Wisconsinites are struggling with that are not being done. Child care, you know, funding for our public schools, keep our community safe, and also, you know, protecting women's reproductive rights. I made the decision to run because I'm a person that's very impatient. I like to make sure that we're addressing issues that are important to Wisconsinites. I've spoken to folks across the 85th Assembly District, and I know that they've expressed that there's concerns. They're tired of the gridlock that exists. They're tired of the struggle, the experience that they struggle. Here's a good example. We know that we have a child care crisis in the Marathon County area here, all across the state, as a matter of fact. But the state legislator has failed to act and actually provide any services or relief to child care centers across the 85th Assembly District. As a matter of fact, the only true action was when Governor Evers allocated federal dollars to address it, and when the Marathon County Board allocated $200,000 to child care to train 30 additional child care workers so that way we could open up 240 slots. Now, why it makes me frustrated, because why does the Marathon County Board with limited resources have to address an issue that's happening all across the state of Wisconsin here? We need to do better. Expanding health care is another example. The state legislature has chosen to deny health care coverage to 89,000 Wisconsinites and over $2 billion of federal investments in the state of Wisconsin here. And then now there are politicians out there who voted against this, now wants to seriously consider expanding healthcare. Why didn't they do They're only doing it now because of fair maps, and now it's the opportunity for constituents to choose who they want, who will take action on issues that are bothering them every single day.
Yeah, I love that. And I actually wrote down what you said, because I think this is very relatable to many moms in our community. I made the decision to run because I'm a person that's very impatient. Yes, we can very much relate to that and very much appreciate you stepping into that and making a difference. And you just talked about, you know, childcare and funding for public schools and so many things that are really should be nonpartisan, right? And are important to so many people around the state. And I know a little bit earlier you were talking about ginseng there, and I think when your parents worked, and I'm curious, like, are there any, that's probably big in that area. Are there any other things like unique to your district that you're hearing a lot about that we maybe don't talk about as much statewide, but are really important to the people in that area?
In the 85th Assembly District here, we have a large population of our elders, you know, who are in retirement age, and they want to make sure that they're being taken care of. So healthcare is very important, as well, as I mentioned earlier, you know, with the closures of the two hospitals out in the Chippewa Falls area, and with Marshfield Clinic laying off their workers, the sphere of access to healthcare is very important, you know. So they want to make sure that they have access to healthcare in the rural areas, but they also want to make sure that their communities are, you know, that's one of the reasons why Marathon is the healthiest and most prosperous county, and that's the whole idea that we also as well too. We want to make sure that we're investing in our first responders to make sure that they can provide the necessary, they have the resources they to be able to keep our communities safe. We want to make sure we have good law enforcement officers who will have the training and quality and resources to keep our communities safe. We want to make sure that we have firefighters that are able to respond and paramedics to respond to special needs, to special issues that are happening in our community. But we also want to make sure we're investing in our schools and making sure that we're able to do what we can here to properly provide our teachers with the resources they need to take care and teach our students. So because they are the new future leaders in this community here, and provide support for our businesses as well.
Yeah. And it is worth noting, I mean, again, that there's well over 100 school referendums. There are local governments that need referendums just to maintain or help out with, emergency services and things. Nicole, any other final point you'd like to run past ye before we wrap things up here?
No, I think for me, it's just more a matter of kudos to you for being a person who stood up and took action at a time when someone had to. And I think we all see that, right? Where it's like, who's going to be the person to say, hey, we can do better. So kudos to you. It's been absolutely energizing to watch your campaign just from afar on social media. And just to echo what Kate said of just we hear about you from so many people, and it's an honor to have you on today.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just looking at some of the comments here. Alicia Saunders is running up in Northeast Wisconsin and says he has been putting in the work and doing amazing things. And I have to tell you, knowing as a candidate, that people talk. And they can't always see what you're doing, but other people do, and then they talk to other people. And there is perhaps no higher compliment in my experience than when you ask about a race and somebody says, oh yeah, they're putting in the work. You know, meaning they're knocking on the doors, they're not sloughing off when it's time to make fundraising phone calls. That work ethic doesn't seem to be something new to you, Yi. It sounds like you've got some good genes for that.
Yeah, it's my parents who taught me how to be, how to be a hardworking American. So I give them a lot of kudos.
Yeah, without a doubt. And again, there are plenty of platforms where you can learn more, including Yi. That's YeeFOR. WI, Yi for Wisconsin. Also, Yi for Wisconsin, on the other social platforms, it's YeeFORWI, Yi for Wisconsin on all of those as well. Yi, thank you very much for being part of things today. Kate, Nicole, obviously, we're going to be talking to Tammy Baldwin Thursday at 7:30. We're talking to Christian Phelps right before that at 7:05 on Thursday. So, thanks for joining us for such an early edition here. I got a feeling we'll be getting one or two more bonus visits in. There's so many people to talk to yet.
Yeah, there's lots going on. And check us out on Instagram right now. We're in the middle of our 25 days of action. So we're putting out stuff every day, fun and creative things where people can get engaged and help out with the local races, federal races. Just get involved and do something.
These are all days of action from here.
Yes, that's true.
All right. Thanks. Thanks again to all of you for being.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Remember, you can stay up to date on all of our unabashedly Wisconsin news through our daily newsletter. Just head to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner of the homepage, and get that delivered bright and early every morning. There is a big Senate debate coming up this Friday, and Civic Media will be broadcasting the Senate debate between Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican challenger Eric Hovde this coming Friday. Coverage will begin at 6:50. And the Civic Media news and political teams will have previews, then the debate at 7 p.m., then analysis afterwards, all part of the debate that's being presented by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Foundation. So again, tune in starting at 6:50 Friday evening for that U.S. Senate debate. We mentioned earlier off the top that the Harris-Walz ticket is releasing new information later today on their rural agenda and the ways that they want to build on the many ways that the Biden administration has been investing in rural America. That includes a new series of radio ads that feature Governor Tim Walz talking about his own particular upbringing and the investments, again, that he feels ought to be made in rural Wisconsin, well, frankly, in rural America. It's going to air on dozens of stations all across Wisconsin and reach all kinds of folks who are already familiar with Tim Walz from his time as governor of a neighboring state. So there will be plenty of exposure to people like Governor Walz who would actually like to get something done for rural America. These past 2 years should have featured a farm bill. It's still being punted down the road. There could have been other things done for rural Wisconsin. And again, a group of House Republicans consumed by gridlock and political games has been getting in the way. So here to talk to us now about what we could be doing with a more productive Congress is the Vice President for Advocacy for the National Farmers Union, Mike Strands, and, of course, our friend Hans Brighton Moser, a dairy farmer from up in Lincoln County. Mike and Hans, good morning.
Morning.
Nice to have you along. Hans, we always appreciate you taking a break from all the regular chores and duties. How are things up there in your neck of the woods?
Well, things are pretty good, Pat. We've gotten a little bit of rain here, so we're waiting for things to dry out a little bit, but we need to finish chopping corn And we need to combine soybeans and we need to combine corn. And of course, there's still manure hauling and tillage. So you mentioned Lucy earlier, and some days I feel like that episode where the conveyor's going by and she's trying to shove all the chocolates in.
Yes.
That's where I'm at right now.
That's exactly it this time of year, and why I was really happy when Brittany Merlot was in earlier talking about the largely dry weather continuing, and that just needs to be done here. Hans, can you imagine talking about Governor Walz and, you know, keeping in mind that he spent six terms, 12 years, representing a rural district in southern Minnesota. He got three farm bills passed during that time, expanded veterans' access to crop insurance and farm education and job training, improved health care, invested in broadband infrastructure. Can you imagine having a congressional representative like that for northern Wisconsin rather than southern Minnesota?
Man. It's hard to believe that, yes, it's possible to get things done in Washington if the right people are around the table. It is possible.
Yes, they are. And instead, in western and southwestern Wisconsin and parts of central Wisconsin, we've got Derek Van Orden, who was given a plum assignment on the House Agriculture Committee. But we're still awaiting action on any kind of a farm bill, and that's where we turn to Mike Stranz, again, VP of Advocacy for the National Farmers Union. Mike, what's the latest? Are we going to see a farm bill that's already a year overdue, or are we going to see more punting? What's it sound like out there?
Yeah, hopefully we'll be more like the Packers offense this weekend and not do any punting or very little.
Yes.
At least when it comes to the farm bill. But boy, the farm bill is now in a state of it's expired right now. So as of September 30th, we're operating without a farm bill. That doesn't really affect any major pieces of the policy puzzle until early next year. But we can do a whole different discussion about what happens when the farm bill is expired. But what is happening right now behind the scenes in Washington, even with members of Congress out back in their districts doing the last push for campaigning, is some negotiations with staff from the agriculture committees trying to get to some sort of bipartisan agreement to move forward on a farm bill. I think they've made that agreement to move forward on one, but what's in it is the question. And the House Agriculture Committee back in May passed a version of their bill through the committee. The Senate has released some frameworks and have had some discussion drafts out there. Hopefully they'll come to some sort of agreement to move a bill forward after the election, during the lame duck, before the end of this year.
And again, for folks who aren't familiar, a farm bill is about so much more than farming itself. It deals with markets, but crop insurance and conservation programs and nutrition programs all across the country. This is a big deal. And the lack of one also it means maybe nobody suffers in the short term, but it also means you can't make any improvements. And there are a lot of things that could be improved, you know, in a farm bill in the future. Now, look, we've known for 2 years now, the House being controlled by Republicans, the Senate being controlled by Democrats, that any farm bill would need to be bipartisan. There'd have to be some back and forth. We know the Senate Democratic bill and the House Republican bill, you know, they're different. But I guess what I still don't understand, Mike, is, okay, fine, that's your opening in any negotiations. You have an opening. Now that we've done our opening, let's sit down and hammer it out and get this all done. And again, that's the only way anything's going to happen. Have there been particular obstructionists that are keeping that negotiation and deal-making from happening?
I think what happens, you're absolutely right about there's costs to this delay and inaction. And it might not come specifically on a policy, but there's two things that start happening in a farm bill lapse like this. There's the opportunity cost. We could be doing something more useful and building a stronger farm bill in the current climate to get ready for the future, the next 5 years. And by having this drag on for a year and a half, almost 2 years, really hurts on the opportunity cost side. Secondly, the political cost is big too. And this drags out, it pulls apart the farm bill coalition. And that's happened a number of times in recent farm bill cycles. The more we wait, the more intransigent all the sides become, the bigger the problem gets. And I think what might be the strongest negotiating point right now for many players in the farm bill discussion is that it doesn't pay to wait. Neither side, either the House or the Senate or the Republicans or Democrats, want to wait to do this in next year's Congress, because even if there's a lot of different permutations on how things shake out in a little less than a month from now in the election, nobody wants to have to deal with the farm bill right off the bat. They'd rather get it done now when the issues are clear, where there has been a lot of groundwork already done. So the cost of waiting becomes very high. And I think that's one of the things that's pushing this farm bill process along, even behind closed doors at the moment, is that by getting it done in lame duck clears the deck in 2025 for other legislative priorities that both sides, all sides, seem to have.
Now, whatever's happening behind closed doors, whatever bipartisan talks lead to a deal, that's all good if it comes to fruition. Though I suddenly think about the border security bill that, you know, Donald Trump spiked, even though there was bipartisan compromise. But that notwithstanding, Hans, you know, Derek Van Orden was given this plum assignment on the House Agriculture Committee. And I'm wondering if you are hearing anything that indicates that he might be helping with a bipartisan compromise to get a farm bill passed. Or, I mean, all I've ever seen is farm tours that local TV stations pick up on and make him sound like, you know, he's doing something. But apart from farm touring, I'm not seeing any action. Are you seeing something that I'm missing?
Well, you know, I'm not anti-farm tour. I guess it's good when our leaders get out and see real people doing real things. And I guess I'm going to be once again that almost foolishly optimistic farmer that believes that maybe he's doing something behind the scenes, as Mike suggested, that there's work being done behind the scenes and all this is going to come out with some real great product by, you know, real soon here. But it's hard to believe that since it's been dragging on and on.
Well, yeah, exactly. And especially somebody like Van Orden, who has spent so much more time just picking fights on social media and, you know, just giving all of the right-wing talking points, except in his political ads, which suddenly, you know, tried to make him look extremely bipartisan. Mike, as we look ahead then, and we look at the potential for a Donald Trump victory and Republicans taking the House and the Senate and the things that are in Project 2025 maybe coming up for a vote and coming to fruition. We talked in the last hour to Ambassador Miriam Shapiro, a former U.S. trade representative, about what Project 2025's tariffs would do for trade to Wisconsin farmers. Looking ahead that way as you do, I want to start with, you know, kind of the not the worst case, but a bad case scenario, and then where we could go, depending on how things go in November. But what's your outlook on what could happen if some of those elements of Project 2025 were to be put in place?
One of the, you know, it's a unique situation we're entering right now with a new administration is coming in, regardless whether that's a Harris administration or a Trump administration. But for both, we have an idea of what that might look like. And with the Trump administration, if that comes to take place here in the coming months, we know what that trade policy looks like. And we've had a very clear example of what can happen when trade wars get started without a plan for how to fully execute them and to fully pursue those moves towards building a better trade relationship or renegotiating one way or another with our major trading partners like China. And the crush of problems that came up in 2018 and 2019 as a result of the tariffs with China, and how the U.S. took a unilateral go-it-alone approach to dealing with our largest trading partner like that. The reverberations are still felt in agriculture today. And I think that gives us a clear sign of the sort of tumultuous approach we would likely see in a Trump administration. That's why we're highlighting the need for taking a more measured approach to have a plan so that we don't end up in the situation we had in 2018 and 2019. For farmers in particular, with the market facilitation program and emergency ad hoc trade disaster assistance being worked out by USDA in a matter of hours, well, maybe more than hours, but in a matter of weeks back in the summer of 2018. So we want to avoid that. And if we are going to take a stronger stance using tariffs, let's have a plan. Let's make sure that doesn't happen again like it did in 18 and 19.
All right. So then let's look ahead to a better case scenario. You know, a Harris administration, Democrats hold the Senate, maybe even take the House, probably with a narrow majority. We're in that realm right now where everything is by narrow majorities. But a lot got done during the first two years of the Biden administration. Where's your wish list for 2025 best case scenario?
Sure. In a, you know, just a couple last week, the Biden White House hosted an event, Farmers and Ranchers in Action event at at the White House and brought in farmers and ranchers from across the country, leaders in agricultural organizations, to talk about some of those investments in rural America. We saw a lot of progress over the last several years, particularly in 2021 and 2022 with the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Bill, the CHIPS and Science Act, the American Rescue Plan. A lot of these major pieces of legislation churned billions of dollars into rural America, into infrastructure. It emphasized competition. It prioritized climate change, addressing those issues. And there's a lot of benefit to be had. I think Wisconsin, you're seeing it with some of the road and infrastructure improvements around the state that have been getting a lot of headlines. The White House brought folks in to talk about that. And I think those steps forward are a great spot to build on for the next administration, whoever it may be. We need to make sure we've got more emphasis on competition in the marketplace. The Biden administration has done more than most any other administration since Teddy Roosevelt to bring about more competition in ag markets. We got to keep that momentum going. We want to make sure climate change remains a priority. So let's emphasize that. We need to bring back some better trade policy when it comes to labeling for meat. The Biden administration made some steps towards making the voluntary labels real and verifiable. We need to make that mandatory. So let's build on those successes and get things done in the next administration.
And getting things done is going to be a lot of work no matter what next year. We're no longer operating in the shadow of a pandemic, which helped some of these measures pass during the Biden administration. There's definitely going to have to be some deal making to overcome a 60-vote threshold in the Senate. But we all know Mike Stranz is going to follow that as VP of Advocacy for the National Farmers Union. Hans Breitenmoser up in Lincoln County. Gentlemen, thank you both so much. Always great to catch up. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. When we come back, Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO tells us what he'll be talking about on his show in the Wausau area and on the Civic Media app. That's coming up next. You're up north. So at the top of the show, Up North News was first to report on a new series of radio ads being run by the Harris Walz campaign on dozens of stations across rural Wisconsin to talk about what the Harris Walz plan is going to do to invest in rural Wisconsin, in rural America. Details of that plan are starting to come out. They improve a focus on improving rural health care, plans to recruit 10,000 new healthcare professionals in rural and tribal areas through scholarships, loan forgiveness, new grant programs. The plan was detailed to the Associated Press by a senior campaign official and marks an effort by the Democratic campaign to, again, say there's no part of the Harris-Walz campaign that is taking rural America for granted, nor should they. The Biden administration has perhaps the most solid record ever on investments in rural America, an area that didn't vote for Joe Biden, but that Joe Biden, you know, served nonetheless. Chad Holmes joins us now from 98.9 WXCO. His show is coming up next on that Civic Media Network station. Mr. Holmes, how are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Very good. Had a wonderful discussion there with Yiling Zhang. Like I said before, I just want to rewind those first 3-4 minutes where he talked about his family's struggle to get to this country. And just make any anti-migrant person listen to that. And my question to them would be, would you be willing to do that for America, to get to America? Or are you happy just to sit on your butt, you know, and criticize the people who want to come to America and work? The Wausau area and the Eau Claire area have been just masterful examples of how immigration can work and should work and is now leading to hopefully a new generation of leaders and legislators.
Absolutely. And I think when you're talking to him about doing the work, he is so active in what he has been able to accomplish at such a young age. I mean, I think people may not realize just how young he is. I mean, I don't know if he's hit 30 yet, and he's been on the DC Ever School Board. Of course, he's been a leader with the Hmong American Center here in the Wausau area. He has done so much. And it's in an era, and again, I don't mean to paint with a broad brush, but I think there's just so many folks that are in office that just want to be in office, fill in a seat, look at their own personal bottom line, and you have this person who's come to this, you know, country and is trying to actually, you know, lift people as opposed to keep people down. There's just too many of the types that try to keep people down. I think he is just a great example of the kind of leadership that not just this area needs, but the state and the country need. And I think he would be a wonderful addition into the state legislature, and who knows what the future would bring as well.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's an example of what this country needs. You know, compare that to a headline in yesterday's New York Times. In rural Wisconsin, race is an undercurrent of the presidential election. And an earlier New York Times story about how Eau Claire welcomed new refugees and then all the angry billboards went up. And I mean, we are seeing that angry slice of America that believes they can dictate who can move into their neighborhood, which is awfully reminiscent of days gone by when, you know, the Irish couldn't move in, or blacks couldn't move in, or Jews couldn't move in. And I just hope that stories like Yee's enable people to have some serious self-examination. Now, he's running against Pat Snyder, who is running messages now, much like Dewey Strobel down in the Milwaukee area, about how bipartisan they are. Well, Chad, we know that some bills do pass on bipartisan votes. They're not the big ones. They're kind of these smaller things. But on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put Pat Snyder on the list of bipartisanship constantly being a 10 and nothing but political games and inaction being a 1?
You can look at it in two different ways. You can look at it where if you just put him out there as, you know, a bastion of bipartisanship compared to nobody else, it's obviously very low. He has, yes, I have had discussions with a couple of other people that say that Pat has tried to work in different areas. So I'm not going to be totally unfair to Pat and say that he's done nothing. But at the same time, as a member of that party, you're very limited to what you're able to do. I mean, I just think that he is not, I would call, a bastion of courage, breaking away from Robin Voss and the Republican Party in Madison. So it's a very low bar. But no, I would not say he is a bastion of bipartisanship. And I find it very interesting what you said earlier about how somebody like Derek Van Orden can try to pull the wool over the eyes and say that they're working in a bipartisan way. It's the same thing with Pat. I the commercials, both Yee and Pat, I mean, I've never seen so many commercials for an assembly race in this area. I mean, it really is. It is something that it's very new, and I think it's part of a bigger issue. But no, I mean, Pat is not what you would call a bastion of bipartisanship.
Well, no, we're just not seeing that. You know, you wouldn't be described as a maverick, put it that way.
No.
Especially in a Republican Party that needs mavericks more than ever at this point to keep the party from sliding past Trumpism into something even darker. But again, it's a very key race. I'm really glad we got a chance to talk to him, Yee Ling Zhang, about his candidacy. I know that you'll be talking about that and following much more on your show, 98.9 WXCO, or on the Civic Media app. When he's not doing the show, he's doing 600 football and basketball games a week. So, Chad, welcome to the era of never sleeping.
By the way, I got Yee on today, too. I was really thrilled to hear that you had him on today as well.
The man's doing a media blitz right on par with Kamala Harris.
And the 7th District, Kyle Kilborn, will be on with me as well. So got a couple great candidates. So stick around if you're tuned in on the app.
You got it. All right. Thank you, sir. Greg Bach is back in 2 hours for Matt and Air on Air.
I am indeed. We got Todd Alba on 10:30 and Stephen Webb, Executive Director of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it so much. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a wonderful Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Up North.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.